I'm Andrea, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. I have the great pleasure of speaking to you today, thanks to Randy and a good friend, Jeff, who has kind of pointed me in this way. And I was kind of grateful to be scheduled today because it turns out that today, 16 months ago today, was the first day that I woke up completely hungover and never to do it again. Knock on wood. I'm so grateful to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. This was not my choice. This was not my decision. I didn't like groups. I'm an individual kind of gal. Let me do it on my own. Thank you very much. I was born and raised in Montessori schooling, and kind of how you do that is you work in your own little corners, and you do your work, and then you give it to the teacher when you're done. I thought Alcoholics Anonymous was like that, and when I first tried, we came into a meeting, I actually got the big book and took it home and read it by myself. It didn't work very well, obviously. My story's, like many people's, very different, but at the same time very same. I grew up feeling very alone. I had spinal bacterial meningitis when I was 8 weeks old, and it took me to the brink of death, and I was very close to dying. I lost my hearing in the process. And so for the first 5 years of my life, I was deaf and nobody knew. They thought I was dumb. So that kind of laid a pattern for me of silence and feeling very alone and playing in my room quietly with nobody really aware of my existence at all. And that really led to a lot of problems as I started growing up. You know, I realized that I didn't really have anyone that I could turn to or anyone that I felt really loved me. You know, I had a great mom and a great dad, but they weren't very good parents. And I was left alone for a lot of my early childhood. When I was eight years old, I went to a park to play by myself, and there was a man that was there, and he sexually assaulted me. And I tell you this now, not because that's why I'm an alcoholic, but to give you a sense of what my reality was like. I went home, and I remember thinking that I couldn't tell a person. There was nobody. I thought to tell an 8-year-old girl with nobody to turn to. It was no wonder that about a year after that I discovered alcohol. So, like I think it was Tom who shared, I started drinking actually when I was 9 years old. By about 11, I was a full-blown alcoholic. I kind of left untreated in that way for a while, and when I was about 16 years old, I couldn't take it anymore, and I attempted suicide. I wrote a letter of goodbye to everyone I knew, and many, many sorries, because at that point, I knew one thing, and that's that I was completely out of control. And the things that I was doing, I hated to see myself do, but I continued to do them, and I didn't know how to stop. What it was untreated alcoholism. I went into the hospital for 6 months with depression. They didn't think that I was alcoholic then. Hopefully that's changed now, but it was definitely untreated alcoholism. And after 6 months in the hospital, I got out, and I became a functional alcoholic. I finished high school in 2.5 years and went away to college and excelled and was on the dean's list and went away to get my master's degree and excelled and got straight A's and graduated with a master's in psychology, of all things, because if I was going to figure out a way to fix this crazy brain, right, and everyone else's, because I figured that knowledge was power, and for a long time, knowledge was my God. And I thought that that had the answer. I thought if I read enough inspirational books, I would figure out how to live. And I did that for a long time, and things just started getting crazier and crazier. And at some point, my husband and I decided to move out to Tecate, Mexico, which I'm not sure if anyone here is familiar, is the home of the famous brewery. And actually, every morning at 10 a.m., they give you one free beer. Clever marketing, I must add. Because anyone that knows an alcoholic, that's all we need, right, to get started, please. Okay, so living in Tecate was the start of some of the worst alcoholic years of my life. The real Jekyll and Hyde, I was a character by day and a character by night. And I hated who I was by night, but I didn't know how to stop the insanity. I felt so shameful, and I started getting into that horrible pattern of, you know, you can't wake up with that just gnawing feeling of what you have done the night before, and then you can't just stop it, and it was just this craziness. And it got to the point that my husband was about to divorce me, and he said, I'm gonna leave you, and I'm gonna take our daughter, who at the time was 2 years old, and I'm gonna take our daughter. And I thought, no, you're not, she's my daughter. And he says, I don't want her to grow up to be a woman like you. And I cannot tell you how much that hurt, But I can also not tell you how much it hurt even more to know that I didn't want to do these things. I didn't want to be the woman that I was, but I didn't know how to stop. I didn't. I honestly didn't. I realized at that point that my drinking had something to do with it, because these were the things that were happening only when I was drunk, not when I was sober. And so I figured I better control and moderate my drinking. And I did that for about 2.5 to 3 years before I finally got sober. And it was a really hard time because, like I said, I was that independent woman that, give me a challenge and I will find a way to do it. There was nothing that I couldn't do in my mind, I felt. But when given alcohol, so powerless, so powerless. It was hard. The last year of my drinking, I went to a psychiatrist, and I received extensive counseling, and realized that what I was experiencing was pretty much a constant recurrence of my PTSD symptoms, post-traumatic stress disorder, and I was plagued with these horrific nightmares, and I felt a need to medicate myself, and so I did so with alcohol on rare occasion, because I was terrified of alcohol. I knew what it turned me into, the monster that I became under the drink, and was taking a lot of pills for anxieties and horrible nightmares that I was having, and all of these things and all of this chaos and substance, just taking. And it really just brought me to my knees. I went away on vacation one summer and up to Minnesota, my summer home, and I thought, you know what, I'm only going to be gone for 2 weeks. I really don't need to take anything with me. You know, I'll be okay. It's only 2 weeks. You know, I'm not that bad. A few days into my trip, I went to go visit a casino, and I was about to drop my daughter off at the child care center when I walked over, and the child care center wasn't there anymore, and I had asked them what had happened. And the security guard has kind of looked at me puzzled and said, "You didn't hear? A little girl was raped in here not too long ago, and they closed the center down for good." And he said that, and it hit me so hard. And I walked away from that, and as I'm walking away, I'm starting to shake, and I'm starting to quiver, and I'm starting to feel nauseated and tense, and it's all of a sudden this overwhelming thing that started to happen to me. I'd never had one of these before. They're called panic attacks. I'm sure many of you in this room have had something like this, feeling like I was going to die, total panic in this casino with, you know, ding, 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 and things going on and smoke everywhere. And I panicked, literally panicked, and just flew to a corner of the room and called my husband in tears. And I said, "I don't know what's going on. I can't take this." Just bawling, bawling, bawling. And then the nausea and the vomiting, and it's just this tornado of feeling. And, you know, walked away from that, and I realized I was not okay. I was not okay if I could not go a few days without some substance to alter my sense of mind and body. That is not okay. That is not okay. The next day, I found a way to get to the liquor store. And it was about 12 o'clock, and I knew what I was doing, but I knew I couldn't stop. And I went to a place called the Ye Old Pickle Factory in Brainerd, Minnesota, and I got a bottle of vodka, and I stashed it in my purse, and then I went to the bathroom, and I opened up that bottle of vodka, and I'm sitting there in the bathroom of this Ye Old Pickle Factory, and there's writing on the walls, and I'm drinking this out of this bottle of vodka, and it's burning my throat, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? It's the only thing I can do. I have to do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm doing it. I was drunk for that whole day. And that started the last 2 weeks of my drinking. I was drunk, actually, the next 2 weeks, and that last day, nothing big happened. I wish I had, you know, blazing. I went out guns blazing, but it was kind of this subtle sadness that creeped into me, and this subtle sense of powerlessness that one morning that I woke up exactly 16 months ago today, I didn't know where my phone was or where my shoes had gone. And I was a little confused, because all I remembered was that bottle of vodka at the Ye Old Pickle Factory 2 weeks prior. And I knew I couldn't live like this. And I asked my husband if he thought I had a problem, because at that time, like I said, I hid it well. Nobody knew. And for the first time, my husband said, "Yes, I think you have a problem." And I don't know where the thought came from. I don't know why I'm here. The thought came Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had never really considered, other than that book that I thought I was supposed to read, and that obviously didn't work, because I tried reading it and it didn't help. But I looked up Alcoholics Anonymous, and it turns out that I had unbeknownst to me, had moved to a house that was a block and a half away from a meeting that I had actually gone to in my master's. When I was in my master's program during my chemical dependency class, they sent me to an AA meeting to write a paper. And I didn't know it, but I had moved a block and a half away from this meeting that I thought was in this obscure part of San Diego that I would never go to again. And there I was. And I started my journey into recovery, and it has been a beautiful, beautiful journey. And I saw so many hands go up of newcomers. Welcome. Welcome. I cannot tell you the joy that I have today in my world, because I am still powerless. But I've got a power greater than myself to help me through, and I've got great friends, and I've got just wonderful, wonderful, my family's back together, and everything is just, I would tell you what it was, but I actually want you to find out for yourself. Stick around and watch the magic happen. Thank you.